we ready? Welcome to the, initial meeting for the Discretionary Fund Committee. I welcome all the committee members, and if you're on Zoom or on the radio or whatever, we welcome you also. I'm privileged to chair this committee. This is my last year of the 6 years, so I'll miss this committee, and I'll miss what happens in this committee. So, Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Okay. Karen Blackburn.
Here.
Thomas Alexander.
Here.
Samantha Kirstein.
Here.
Tracy Gatewood.
Here.
Victoria Dowling.
Here.
And Lonnie Marnie.
I'm here.
Okay, first on the roll is to approve the meeting's minutes from last January 8th, if we can remember that far back. Everybody read that? Do we have a motion to approve? We have a second? Okay, so we all know each other, but I'd like to go through and maybe introduce yourself, and also at the same time, maybe say a couple words.
Yes, I am Karen Blackburn. I am a resident. I've been a resident of Fairbanks for about 20 years. I'm over at the Northern Hope Center as the executive director. And I've been on this committee, I think 2 years? I'm not sure, but I think two.
Thank you. Tom, I think you're next.
Tom Alexander, born and raised in Fairbanks. I think this is my third year on the committee. I think it's going to be an interesting, very, very interesting year with some of the amounts that were requested. A lot of absurd amounts, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how it goes.
Tracy Gatewood. I've been on the committee, I think, maybe 5 years or so. Looking forward to this year's process. I was shocked to see the ask, and we'll be interested to see where we land at the end of this process. Lot of requests.
Sam?
Hi, I'm Sam Kirstein. I grown up in Fairbanks, and I've served on this committee for at least 5 years. Was I here before you, Tracy?
I think we came at the same time, but I'm in a different seat.
Yeah, but anyway, it's been a very interesting experience. I've learned a lot over the years. I've asked a lot of questions, and I have a lot of questions that have to be asked this year because I think that we have definitely reached a point where we're going to have to put a maximum request amount in here because some of these things are well beyond the scope of the committee as I read them. But thank you.
Victoria.
Hi, I'm Victoria Dowling. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, and I have a, after retirement, I started a vacation rental in town, and also I have a lot of construction people staying there, and I also agree with Sam and everyone else pretty much on the committee that I think we need to rein this in a little bit. It looks like it might be getting a little out of hand, but I understand also that people have the urge to try to ask for as much as they can, to try to get as much as they can. So I think maybe a limit on that might help. Thank you.
My name is Sarah First. I'm the grants administrator in the finance department. I've worked in the finance department for 6 years now. So I started out in utility billing and then kind of worked my way up to the grants position. Just like all of you, I've been in North Pole Fairbanks area for most of my life. I'm just excited to give my report today.
Diana, would you like to speak?
feel like it was, but anyway, I served two terms on council. So October of this year will be my last, and I just love this committee. There's too many good things that, and there is a challenge. I think we tried to address that in the cover letter this year, but obviously that didn't sink in. Mm-hmm. And almost to the point where it just kind of turns me off when they just kind of blow things out of the water. I don't know. Okay, next in line is a report from me. I kind of basically just said it. It's something I look forward to every year. It's a lot of work. Just reading a number of applications and trying to digest of what they're seeking and what they want and the dollar amount, especially. It's important that this committee, this whole fund, works. You know, I got to thinking, and finally it soaked into me that it's like a big circle. So these businesses bring visitors and locals or whatever into the community. So then they get hotel rooms, they eat in restaurants, they shop. So it's a big circle that all goes back into the pot. So every year it's a reoccurring thing, and it's good for all of us. It's good for the community. So let's get into next. Is we're going to start with our committee policies and procedures. Something about tardiness, absentees, presentation format. So that policies and procedures is in our packet. And I'm going to start with, I don't know, Karen, do you have a packet, or are you just reading off your email?
Yes, I have a packet.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is go around the room. I'm going to read the first one, and then if you would read the second one, and then Tom, and then we'll go around. Yeah. So the first one, requirements, is the discretionary grant funds will be $400,000. Karen?
Okay, and the applicants whose annual report is not filed by October 31st are ineligible to apply. Final annual report with all expenditures is due by December 31st.
Yeah. Tracy?
Any organization or person, public or private, may apply for grant monies.
Applications must be received by City Clerk's office no later than 5 p.m. on October 31. Committee requires applications to be complete and copied upon submittal.
Applicants cannot request funding to support the following: A, loans, deficits, and debt reduction; B, endowments; C, scholarships; D, health and social services activities. Karen? Oh,
Rick.
I'm sorry. Go, Victoria. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Grant guidelines. A, contribute significantly to the growth and promotion of Fairbanks. B, monies must supplement a successful ongoing program of activities or a new program that will need initial support to accomplish its stated goals.
Okay, scoring procedures and conflicts of interest are decided at the committee's first organizational meeting each year.
Committee members send their individual allocations to the finance department by a date and time agreed upon by the committee prior to the distribution meeting. Finance staff will receive members' allocations no later than 10 a.m. the day of allocations.
Each committee member reads their allocation into the record during the distribution meeting. Allocations are not final until approved by the City Council at the first council meeting in January.
stated in the minutes, if an event or organization creates tourism, economic development for the city of Fairbanks, the entity itself does not have to be within the city limits to be eligible for grant funding.
The presentation meeting will start on time, regardless of who is present.
Presentations may be held in one meeting only.
Presenters will present in the order applications were received. There will be no exceptions to this rule unless a presenter misses their turn and the committee allows them to present later in the meeting.
No specific time slots are allocated, and presenters are encouraged to arrive at the start of the meeting.
If a committee member misses any presentations due to absence, they will not be permitted to score any applications.
Each presenter will be given 3 minutes to present, and there will be up to a 7-minute question and response period following each presentation. Presenters may choose to simply answer questions at the discretion of the chair. An applicant's question and answer period may be extended.
No new information may be presented to the committee members after the October 31st deadline. Electronic presentations and hard copy handouts of any kind are prohibited.
If three or more committee members allot a zero allocation at the end of the presentation, the applicant will be eliminated from consideration.
Committee members must round their allocations to the nearest $10.
Late applications will not be accepted by the city clerk's office. Incomplete or late applications will not be considered for funding.
Applicants who are not represented at the presentation meeting will not be considered for funding.
The original application will serve as the official copy. Completeness will be determined by the original.
Application withdrawals will be allowed until the point of allocation.
Next, it looks like we have a presentation from Ms. First. Oh, questions.
I have a question before we move on.
I do too.
There's something that I needed to ask the finance folks already because it's not clearly stated in here. And I ask, what is the term of the funding cycle? And the reason I ask that, you'll see as we move along here, is that the term is 2026 money. So if a purchase has been made before that, it's not to be included in this process.
Sarah?
That is correct.
Yeah. So that needs to be added to this too, I think. Yeah.
Do you want to? Well, I'll get with Sam afterwards, and I'll get that written down. I'll get it to you. Victoria, you had a question?
So one of these things says that absences. I am going to be gone the month of December, and I didn't foresee that. I am able to call in, so I wasn't sure if that would count as an absence, if I was calling in. So I wanted to let the committee know that I will be out of town. So whenever the presentation is going to be, I assume I will have to call in for it.
Yeah, because I know we've had people that present on Zoom, so
okay.
I wouldn't see why not.
Okay, good. Thank you.
But maybe we'll go into depth after Sarah makes her presentation.
Okay.
I know Tom has some December dates that he can't do, so
mm-hmm. That's
always...
Well, I can call in on any day, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, Sarah, go ahead.
Okay. So for my report... First, I want to give an update on the prior year's awards. Fairbanks Youth Soccer Association did not submit their annual report and did not put in an application for a 2025 grant, but that was the only agency that did not report. I put together some information on the 2025 applications. Sounds like some of you have this information already. There was a total of 31 applicants requesting a total of $1,008,774.98 in funds. This is an increase of approximately $125,000 in requests from the prior year with 30 applicants. This year, we had four entirely new applicants that had never received funds before. In the prior year, six applicants were denied in the initial review process. Of those six, five agencies reapplied in 2025. I always think that's great that if somebody's kicked out, they try again. 77% of applications received were received in the last week of October, with a majority of applications received on October 31st. I have completed the grant application review process. I have identified applications with deficiencies, which I will present one at a time for the committee to decide if they will allow the application to continue in the process or not. Once this process is complete, I will reveal the names of the applicants. Most of the deficiencies that I've identified center around the financial information presented. So please let me know if you need me to repeat or explain further what I've found. $1,008,774.98. Oh, is it?
Diana, will we get all this information with the minutes?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That could be. Mm-hmm.
The reason I believe is because we had, well, no, that one's on here. You had the one that came in by mail, right?
I do, yeah. Yes.
Okay. The postmark?
That could be my error.
Will we have this information that Sarah is sharing with us along with the minutes of the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And so just before I go into this, I kind of thought the same thing as the committee voiced this about the requests were quite high. So when I went through, I tried to pull out anything that I thought was a deficiency that I would want to present to you guys to see if this should be allowed or not. So with that, the first agency number 10 that I have on my list, I have a note here, Schedule A, incomplete. Applicant provided pages for Schedule A that included last name and salaries for 2024 and 2025, but no position titles. Provided informational page that 2026 salaries had not been decided yet. So they used additional pages for their Schedule A, but it didn't follow the format and information that we had requested in our form on their additional pages.
So we want to do this one at a time, if we allow it or not?
I think that might work best.
Okay. Sam?
And is the number 10 you're talking about the one that's listed as number 10 on this list?
Blood Bank of Alaska?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. No, you are correct. I'm sorry. I should not have said agency number 10. This is the first deficiency. So
okay,
I apologize
but
for that.
With that in mind, would you mind repeating those again?
The deficiency?
Yeah.
Okay. Schedule A.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. The Schedule A was incomplete. Applicant provided pages for Schedule A that included last name and salary for 2024 and 2025, but no position titles. Provided informational page that 2026 salaries had not been decided yet.
Are we talking about Blood Bank of Alaska?
Apparently.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So is this supposed to be anonymous?
It is. It should be anonymous. I am sorry. I actually didn't realize that everybody had the agency listing.
Okay. Well, I have a question about that particular one that I think is material to this discussion. I was driving by a couple of days ago, and I observed that that the request was for a sign, a neon sign, and I observed that there is one in front of the building. And so I asked Margarita, how do we do that? Because we're using 2026 money, and so it seems like if the purchase was made, that would be 2025. Because we're still in 2025, right? So she said that we have to consider the spending of the money for 2026.
Right.
And so to me, that's a very big issue, because are we paying for something that has already occurred, or are they trying to get a second one, and we'll not know that until we ask
have
them.
Their report.
Yeah.
And finance department would look over that information and the dates of payments made and things like that when they're finalizing.
So are we, yeah. So that will be an important thing for us to consider as far as I'm concerned.
Karen?
So just in terms of my opinion, if we're not following, and you probably will hear this a lot, if we're not following the guidelines, if we're not following the format, if we are not following the process that we laid out, then I would say no, not eligible.
And my suggestion is, with the point that I just brought up, that that be included in the guidelines that you have for us. 2026.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Tracy that ever since I've been on this committee, there has been a change of some irregularity that, you know, you have to follow the rules and do it properly. You don't.
Yeah.
Victoria, you concur?
I concur. I agree.
Okay, that's majority. Or Karen, do you?
I agree as well.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Next.
Okay, this is the second deficiency. Application ends on page 31 of 49, did not include proof of logo. So they had made their own page numbers, and so it would go 1 of 40 of 49, and then it ended on page 31. I searched all of those pages. They had all the other information, but it did not have proof of the logo.
Mandy?
Well, that's kind of goes by the same thing we just talked about. You know, yeah. You got to have it. We've canceled other people that didn't have the logo.
Right.
Ice Alaska that 1 year.
Agreed.
I agree.
Karen?
I agree.
Okay, that's a majority or 100%.
Okay. Okay, for this next agency, I could not determine if the proper dates were used on the financial statements. The Schedule A says fiscal year end is June 30th. Balance sheets presented were as of July 31st. Profit and loss also used fiscal year end of July 31st. So a full 12 months was presented, but I am unsure if that depicts the agency's actual fiscal year.
Okay, I feel like I need a visual on this. Restate that. So
on the Schedule A, they marked that their fiscal year end was June 30th. And then when they provided the statements for their fiscal year end, it ended on July 31st. So just some conflicting information there. I don't know if I had their actual fiscal year end statements.
Did you have 12 months?
Yes.
Of information?
And what does the prompt say for what they should submit?
Okay, so this says income and expense statement for the last fiscal year. last fiscal year should contain the full 12 months. So it was a fiscal year. I'm not sure if it was their fiscal year.
That's a tough one.
I would think that if they have 12 months in there, I don't know if we assume that that's theirs or not, or if we have to throw it out. I don't know. I don't really have much.
So to me, it seems like because we are unsure, it seems as if they've provided what we asked for, even though there may be an error. I would not want to throw it out because we assume there was an error. I hear you when you say there's a conflict. Mm-hmm. To me, that would be something that I'd want to ask mm-hmm. during the presentation.
Okay.
Yes. Does this make any difference to you as you evaluate the financials?
Because it's a month off, I would say no. And we did get the 12 months, so.
Any input?
I agree with Tracy. Like, I would just like to ask them when they come for the presentations about that, so, and not throw it out.
Do
you agree?
Yes.
Well, one question I have is, after this is all done, we're going to disqualify the people that we've already said we're going to disqualify, but we're not going to do anything on this one until the presentation. If they're disqualified, they're not coming to the presentation.
Mm-hmm. So, can I?
Go.
You may.
I've kind of had a similar thought as to, are we going to, how tight are we going to be with an error or someone who didn't complete the application properly? We're going to disqualify people for not completing it properly. How nitpicky are we going to be about it? I mean, I don't think if someone put the, like, there's a typo in there, I don't think we should be that nitpicky, but that is kind of what I thought about, too. How far are we going to go with the?
Yeah, I would think that if they had the 12 months in there,
yeah,
then we should go with it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I agree.
Okay.
And I think the decision allows, if there was the typo in the presentation and we ask about it, they can acknowledge the typo. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that we're in agreement that we're not comfortable throwing this out based on.
Basically, they had the 12 months.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So has this agency applied before?
Yes, they have.
You still have copies, say, from last year?
I would have a copy of the Schedule A, but not the financial statement. I guess we would in the clerk's office, an original copy. We could take a look at
it. So should we look at that? Did,
I or don't, just let I it don't go? Think so. I think that they provided what the prompt asks. There is a question as to whether or not there is a typo in if the June or July is a typo, but everything else that we have disqualified to date has been based on not providing what we asked. And I don't think this is the same. So, and I don't think looking back at last year is going to help us answer if it's a typo or not. So that's just my opinion.
We'll allow it.
Okay. Okay, for this next agency. Agency was formed in November of 2024. Reviewer must assume year-end based on financial data presented as Schedule A fiscal year-end noted as NA. Balance sheet as of August of 2025 was left blank for the current year. They noted agency was formed in November of 2024 and does not have assets, liabilities, or equity in the time frame presented. Profit and loss statement was not dated. Missing information for net income relies on reviewer to compute without presenting numbers. The biggest thing here was the balance sheet was left blank for the current year, so that would be all of 2025. If they were formed in November of 2024, they should have information for 2025.
Thought?
Well, it sounds like they didn't fill out the application properly. And so it's missing stuff, so I think they should be.
Agree.
Okay, for the next agency, balance sheet provided contained income and expense information, contained no assets, liabilities, and equity or fund balance. Sheets assumed to be included as profit and loss information were detailed reports on deposits and expenses, did not provide as a statement, used October end date on detailed information.
So are you saying in essence that they didn't provide a balance sheet, that they just provided some receipts?
So for the balance sheet, they put income and expense information. So it said income, expense. There was no assets, liabilities, or equity. So it was like a profit and loss statement labeled as a balance sheet. And then what was provided for the profit and loss was detailed statements, not a summary report.
Didn't meet the criteria.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask a question only because it needs to be asked. Do you see that there's a significant financial concern in giving the money to this group?
When I look at the applications, when I'm looking at the financial information, a couple of the biggest things that I'm looking for is we're giving you sometimes thousands of dollars. How do you record your information? If the information is not recorded, could that be a problem later for finance department when we get your annual report and we're sifting through, you know, what was purchased, what kind of documents do you have? If you're telling me there isn't any information for your application, you know, that could be a problem in the future when we look at your reports. And then I'm also looking at what do they take in? What is their revenue? You know, can they support themselves without the city providing this information? I don't, hopefully that answers your question. Okay.
So I would also like to say again that I did not attend the FAQ session or the Q&A session this year, but I know last year it was very heavy on the financials and what was required. So if that was a resource that was not taken advantage of, then...
And the directions, we did try to make that super clear in the directions for the applications that your balance sheet had to have assets, liabilities, and equity or fund balance. So,
was this applicant present in that meeting?
I am actually not sure. I think it would be helpful, especially since the attendance has increased so much for the Q&A sessions, if we had a sign-in sheet, because then we could sort of look back and see who was present for that.
I agree.
And one more question. I'm sorry to drag it down, but yeah. But were the questions asked something that would have been covered in that discussion? In this incident?
Margarita was here. Sarah was not here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But we did... I did get the presentation ready for Margarita, and so we put in there, this is a new for this application, that your balance sheet must contain assets, liabilities, and equity or fund balance. So that was included in the notes at least two or three times. And if somebody were to have called and had a question about financial statements, I would be happy to explain that and, you know, what they could put on there to... you know, make it fit the guidelines.
Karen, any input?
No input.
Okay. So are we in agreement to exit this agency or keep it?
I say exit.
I agree.
I agree.
Okay, done.
Okay. For the last deficiency, the balance sheet includes headers for assets, liabilities, and equity, but does not include financial information for liability and equity section. Section for liability and equity states zero, so the balance sheet does not balance. It's essentially an error in the balance sheet, but it looks as if there just was no information presented in those for liabilities or equity. So they have assets, they have numbers for assets, and that should equal their liability and equity section, but it just says zero under liabilities and equity.
So you just stated, just to be clear, this is a question. Did you just state that the application and the Q&A session specifically said you needed to have these areas in the balance sheet?
Yes. So they have the header, but no financial information there.
So it sounds like an error to me. Mm-hmm. We all in agreement?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so now I can divulge their names. I apologize about the blood bank was the first error about the Schedule A being incomplete. Yes. The second, where the application did not include the proof of logo, was the Yukon Quest. This one was kept in for determining of the proper dates for the financial statements, but that was Fairbanks Curling Club. They were not kicked out, though. Yes.
You had it slip the first time. That was 10?
Yes.
But then you said on this one, first one here was number 11. Well, that's what I had one.
I'm sorry. I think I started the confusion. Okay, and the fourth deficiency was where the agency was formed in November of 2024, but did not include any information for their 2025 balance sheet. That was Interior Alaska American Legion Post 99. The fifth deficiency where the balance sheet provided contained income and expense information was World's Biggest Backpack. And the sixth deficiency, where the balance sheet included headers for assets, liability, and equity, but did not include financial information, was Fairbanks Queer Collective. Yes.
Thank you, Sarah. I think maybe for notes for next year would be to either have a sign-up sheet at the Q&A. So we can identify those people, you know, in case things like this happen, we will know. Any other suggestions for next year?
This around a couple of times is making the Q&A mandatory, and I'm thinking of this for a couple of reasons, because even with some of the organizations that have applied, you still seem to get organizations that have deficiencies that have them disqualified. So that's one reason. The other reason is to really hammer in the this is a limited pot of money, And so we've put it in the cover letter. We've said it, you know, in this meeting, but maybe if people are required to sit at the table and really hear and understand the challenges of having $40,000 to allocate and $1 million worth of a proposal, that maybe people will be more mindful. So just something for us to consider during the debrief.
Everybody okay with that? Karen?
Yes.
Okay, Sam?
I agree because I know where this is going, but I still would like to have a maximum application amount. But we've had that discussion over and over. I suggest $35,000. The downside to that is that perhaps everybody would ask for $35,000.
Victoria?
I agree with Sam. I was thinking if we capped it at $20,000, we would have 20 full grants to give if they were up to snuff us on their application. And, you know, to apply, you have to have the backup. So you can't really manufacture backup to get you up to $35,000. So I think there will still be the, you know, the smaller ones, the Cold Steel Pan Orchestra and stuff like that. But I think it might help if we did consider a cap. I don't know the amount. I just threw 20K out there. That would give us 20 full grants. So that was my...
One thought I had regarding this is... having whatever amount they got, say this year, they can only ask for a certain percentage over what they got. So in other words, if somebody received $20,000, if it give them, say, 10-15%, whatever that number is, that's the most they can ask for. And if somebody only got $2,500, they could ask for that same percentage. It seemed like things would not get so out of hand like it did this year.
I totally agree with you. That was the piece I couldn't figure out. How do you keep people, you know, how do you keep the Cold Steel Band, for example, from asking for $20,000? Yeah. When actually all these years they've had a history of being satisfied with a smaller amount.
Yeah. So if you looked at that, and maybe I'm missing something, that, okay, if you assume, it seems like you would have to assume there would be no new applicants. Because it's like you've allocated all of your money, even if you put that cap on the percentage. So how would new people, unless you know there were equal number of people dropping out?
I just wanted to note that when I was putting together the worksheet that you haven't got yet, we put the amounts that they're asking for, and then we put the amount that they asked for in the prior year, and I think you're going to be surprised at what you find.
Well, the thing is, it, in my short history here, we usually have an average of 3 to 5 that don't meet the criteria. So I don't know if that's enough room to... It did this year. If you think about the Yukon Quest. I mean,
if you still, even if you take out the applicants that were qualified, still like more than double the amount of money.
So, do we want to chase this further, or maybe in the wrap-up meeting next year?
I think in the wrap-up meeting, but just make sure we capture it so we can have some robust discussion.
It'll give us time to think about it, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you know, Sam has an option. Tom came up with an option. I mean, at least we have a conversation.
But really, say 1 year we had like 100 applicants come in.
Yeah.
We can't really control who's going to decide to apply. It's up to us to kind of weed them out, whether there's 30 or 100. I don't see how. I think a cap would still help us. I mean, someone's not going to get what they asked for regardless.
Yeah, I have kind of resisted a cap in the past, but I'm definitely more in favor of a cap now. My only concern with the percentage method is I wouldn't want to box out new applicants.
Yeah.
So.
Sam.
And one more concern too. We don't want to box out new people, but we don't want to diminish the ability of the whoever choose WIO, for example, to do their work either. So that's the breed of tension. We don't want to diminish the good work they've already done.
Karen, any last comments?
Well, I agree with this. I like the idea of the set amount, but then maybe, I don't know, just throwing it out there, did like tiers, but then maybe that will cause too much work for someone. I don't know. And I don't want to make someone have to work harder than they have to. So, you know, for those lower amounts, you know, like those people who only need about $10,000 to $15,000. So that's a thought too, but that's something that we can talk about in the future as well, like how we want to address it. Because I know the borough, like they set caps on the grants that we're able to apply for. Like there's one at 25 and then there's one at 30K that, you know, and that's the max amount that you can apply for. So it's different ways we can do it, but I just don't want to cause any more work for anyone.
Thank you.
What? Could there be something, I don't have a history in accounting, so I might not really know what I'm talking about here, but could there be like an exception to the rule? Like if someone came in that needed a lot more money for whatever reason and we had a cap on a grant, would that just be automatically, there's no way to change that? Or would we have the room to make exceptions for like a 250th
almost every grant that I apply for has a cap for the reasons that we're all talking about today. And if we have a cap, I think we need to have a cap.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about this at the close-up meeting, but one thought that just came to my mind: we could have a cap, or we can have a.
I just want to say, from a grants perspective, when you start making exceptions, it gets very messy very quickly. So I would not want to.
Well, to me, that's part of the presentation process. You sell your product, you know. That's why maybe I so much have fun during those presentations meeting, because they sell their product. You have the passion there, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so have we decided to take this? We have lots of time a couple of months. Come back at the wrap-up meeting, and I'm sure Diana has taken notes on all this stuff so we can refresh. So looks like next is going to be the tough one about dates for the presentation and the allocation meeting. So that's on the back of our sheets. I'm pretty much open.
So I'll start with the dates that have been presented. The only dates that I can do are the 2nd and 3rd and the 17th.
Well, the 2nd and 3rd would be great for me, because I've got to go to a family funeral on the 7th, so I got to get down there on the 5th. And then I'm going to be gone all after the 15th. I'm gone for the rest of the month for the holidays.
Victoria?
The 2nd and 3rd would work for me.
Sam?
Yeah, perfect.
Karen?
I'm gone after the 15th, so anything before that is great for me.
Hey, 2nd and 3rd it is.
Wait, so just to confirm, I'd be calling in.
That's fine. Sam?
Third.
Well, second would be the presentation, and the third would be the distribution.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't give us a lot of time to mess around, but we've done it.
Get the presentation and then decide each individually how much we're distributing.
Yeah, so we have to.
Just overnight.
Yeah, we have to do that overnight and get it, I think, to Sarah by 10 that
and
next morning.
A note on that. So today, any members have to state any conflicts that they might have for, and so that could cause, I think we had to stagger when the allocations came in so that those with a conflict would have the numbers for for the people that they had conflicts for. So just keep that in mind.
Okay. So I think you have a conflict.
I have a conflict.
And do you need to know the agency?
Yes. My daughter owns Golden Heart Consulting.
Okay.
I have a conflict.
Tracy?
I have a conflict with the Literacy Council.
Okay.
Anybody else has a, have a conflict? Karen?
No conflicts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's, we leave, we have the presentation at 5 o'clock and we have to have the numbers in Sarah at 10 the next morning. So it'll be a late night.
And that'll take some shuffling to get different numbers at different times to give to.
And I'll be out of town too.
Miss Gatewin. Yeah.
Or we could do Thursday the 4th as a distribution that gives us.
That would work for me.
I'm only available the 2nd, 3rd, and the 17th.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Now, if we want to start playing with other
let's keep it with the 2nd and the 3rd.
Okay.
Everybody agree?
Yeah.
What time is the distribution
then? We've done it before.
Okay.
I think we can, that we can do it as long as everybody is just super responsive when we get the to get those numbers in.
Karen, you okay with all that?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Okay, well, we must be close to adjournment. Any comments that need to be made before we close?
I have a question. If this is your last meeting, who's leading the charge?
Well, last Monday night at council, that's when the mayor basically gave us our assignments. So it's the second meeting of October. Usually the election is in the first of the month, third or fourth, somewhere in there. And then the second meeting, well, that was what, the 10th Monday? That's when she gave us assignments. But I'm more than happy to, I'm not going to darken the door here anymore, but I will work with whoever gets assigned and pretty much have them up to snuff. And I would think you all would be gracious enough to do that also. I mean, you guys are pros. Did that answer?
So it's unknown at this time?
Unknown, yeah.
So, could is it going to be the person who wins your seat that automatically gets it? Or is the mayor?
The mayor changed things around Monday, as you heard.
Yes.
And there's only two committees that we can vote on or approve, and that was the Jerry's committee, the
fast
planning, and the
congressional
EFD committee. Those are voted on, but the rest are mayor assigned. I won't leave you hanging.
Thank you.
Okay, well, good meeting. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Diana. And everybody have a great afternoon. Are we in trouble? Yeah.
So, it's my understanding you remain on as the chair, Mr. Marnie. What the council approved were just those two seats, but everything else was her appointment that the council doesn't get to weigh in on.
I understand, but if my seat is changed, do I still stay on this committee?
No, right. But you'll still serve the rest of your term of council on this committee. Okay.
No, but for next year,
right?
It would be the new person who wins his seat.
It may not be. But this isn't his last meeting, is what I was getting at.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
this is
his
last meeting. Yay. Is that what we thought? Yay.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. Okay, meeting's adjourned.